As the global COVID-19 vaccine rollout continues at pace, world leaders turn their focus to economic recovery efforts. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. With the summer tourism season on the horizon, European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen said the Commission this month will put forward a proposal for a so-called digital green pass. It would provide proof of vaccination against COVID-19 or test results from those not yet vaccinated. The goal, she said, is to gradually allow people to travel safely around the 27-nation bloc, whether for business or pleasure. Her announcement comes as data from Public Health England show a single dose of either the Oxford AstraZeneca or Pfizer-BioNTech vaccines reduced the chance of hospitalization by more than 80%. Now, given, quote, impressive effectiveness, France, which blocked people between 65 and 75 from receiving the AstraZeneca vaccine, has reversed course today. The nation's health minister said people of all ages will now be eligible for the company's shots, as the BBC's James Reid reports.
The rollout of the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine in France and other EU countries has been plagued by difficulties. First, there was a row with the manufacturer about a delay in supplies. Then, public confidence in the jab was undermined by negative media coverage and barbed comments from some politicians, including President Macron. Now, data from Britain has shown that the vaccine is highly effective in reducing death and serious illness, including in the elderly. France must now convince its sceptical public to accept what's proving to be a decisive weapon in the fight against the pandemic.
That's James Reid reporting there. Meanwhile, vaccine rollouts through the COVAX facility aimed at giving equal access to the developing world are continuing today. Nigeria is due to receive nearly 4 million doses, with frontline health workers among the first to get their shots. The country's government plans to vaccinate at least 70% of adults within the next 2 years. Meanwhile, Colombia became the first country in the Americas to receive doses through COVAX. At a press conference, the nation's president, Iván Duque, called it an important milestone.
Muchas personas en el mundo dudaron en la
Many people around the world doubted the effectiveness of this tool. There were false reports and comments of all kinds. But today, it's been confirmed not only that COVAX is active, that it works, but also that it's beginning to distribute in different parts of the world.
Colombia has signed contracts for 20 million doses and so far received 120,000 Pfizer-BioNTech vaccines. Checking the numbers now, global benchmarks are little changed here in Europe, while stocks in Asia came under pressure after remarks from China's top banking regulator, who said he's, quote, very worried about the risk of a bubble in foreign financial markets. The Shanghai Composite Index and Hong Kong's Hang Seng both closed down more than 1%. At one point during this pandemic, more than a quarter of British workers were furloughed. While it's meant a bill of more than $70 billion for taxpayers, pressure is mounting for the UK government to extend the furlough program to support those still out of work. The BBC's Julia Pittam reports some economists have argued the crisis has strengthened the case for a universal basic income, a program in which governments give all citizens cash payments with no work obligations.
The UK government has no current plans for one, but there have already been experiments with the idea around the world, including Germany.
My name is Michael Bohmeyer, and I'm from the German initiative My Basic Income, which tries to find out what a real basic income would feel like if we had it. Usually what people think when they hear of basic income is, oh my God, everyone will get lazy. But it turns out that in reality, it's a very different case. People actually worked more. Some of them changed their jobs to jobs that were better paid. They were more productive and they had less stress. They were less ill. They felt like they were empowered by this free money.
Torsten Schnabel, who lives in Berlin, was one of those who took part in a trial.
It was not enough to live off, unfortunately, but it paid the mortgage for a whole year, which is still quite nice.
The onset of coronavirus has seen the Chancellor, Rishi Sunak, step in with new schemes like furlough to pay workers as businesses shut down to stop the spread of the virus.
This scheme has been a world-leading economic intervention, supporting livelihoods and protecting futures.
This kind of scheme has reignited the debate around universal basic income. Francis Coppola is a UK economist.
They did suspend the conditionality during the COVID pandemic, so it got much closer to a universal basic income then. And it seems to me we could build on that if the political will was there.
Jack Sargent is the youngest member of the Welsh Parliament, and he's led a debate on universal basic income in the Senate.
It's clear to me now that we have a long recovery ahead of us. My constituency in general is very vulnerable to automation, and I believe a universal basic income is an opportunity. If we were to see a trial, it would have to be something that we could see some real benefits.
The global appeal of introducing a universal basic income remains low. However, a recent study of business leaders in the UK showed the complexity of administrating various COVID-related support programmes has seen interest in universal basic income grow to the highest in the world.
Julia Pittam reporting there. Well, Budget Day is a big one here in the UK, and getting the economy restarted will be a top priority for Rishi Sunak, who holds the government's purse strings. He's expected to announce tomorrow a way for pub goers to lend a helping hand to their local boozer. A community ownership fund will allow people to bid for about $345,000 that the government will match to help a struggling local business. It comes as the British Beer and Pub Association says about 60% of all UK pubs will remain closed even if outdoor dining is allowed starting in April, because many do not have alfresco spaces big enough to accommodate patrons. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.